You know, my dick is actually only this long, and when it's in the pump, it grows an extra 3 inches. But the real difference is in the thickness. It's like the difference between a hot dog and a salami.
Hot dog?
I got the hot dog up to my mouth again, and I was ready to bite, and the scream got louder.
Hey, yeah! Where is it?
It's Sextastic Tuesday.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Hey, you freaks! It's Tuesday, July 27th, 2010. Coming up on the program today, shit-smeared catheters, plus undercover careless fairies and tumble-dead babies. All of this plus a classic edition of Sextastic Tuesday on an extended episode of Distorted View Daily.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Hansen.
Yes, hey freaks, Tim Hansen with you. This right here is Distorted View Daily. I got a great program for you. Another classic edition of Sextastic Tuesday is on deck. But before we get into that, I've got some very exciting news. I finally got off my ass and did something. Something I've talked about for a long time, and that is I went ahead and got a new post office box. A lot of you people have been emailing me, voicemailing me, telegraphing me. A couple carrier pigeons have been pecking on my window. I'm a retard. Okay, so yeah, the P.O. Box is going to be posted on the show notes, but if you're curious, it is Distorted View, P.O. Box 211072, Columbus, Ohio 43221. Again, that's P.O. Box 211072. Please try to refrain from scaring the post office workers with your packaging. Not everyone appreciates drawings of bloody aborted fetuses on envelopes and cutouts of penises and shit like that. But yeah, feel free to send whatever you got. Presents. You know, my birthday is this Saturday, I think, or Sunday. Whatever the first is. I guess it would be Sunday. Get those packages in now. The larger, the better. The larger and more expensive, the better. All right. Or, you know, money stuffed in an envelope is not that bad. Oh, also, if you guys happen to want to sign up for the sideshow, all right, I'm gonna tell this to you once, all right? You can sign up using the post office box, but only if you're going to sign up for a yearly or a lifetime membership. I'm not going to accept $5 bills every month sent to me in an envelope. I can't keep track of that shit. So only yearly or lifetime memberships. And please put your fucking email address and your name, included in that shit. I can't tell you how many random $50 money orders I've received with no information. All right. Very angry about that for some reason. I don't know why. I don't care. I still cash the check. Creepy Uncle Tim needs to eat. And I feed off of the sweat of tender, prepubescent boys. $50 gets me 3 licks. Alright, let's get into Sextastic Tuesday. This story was written by Corey of Butt Fudge Sunday fame. And if you're not listening to BFS, you really should be. It's a sideshow exclusive program, but it's definitely, that's worth the $5 alone. I've posted an episode of Butt Fudge Sunday recently on the non-paying member feed, the feed for everybody, so go look for that. Or better yet, go to buttfudgesunday.com, purchase some of Corey's CDs, and you can hear what he's all about. Let's get into it right now, ladies and gentlemen. I give you Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic.
Bertha was a one-ton crane of woman. She slowly rolled her custom wheelchair into the local Fuddruckers. Customers were shocked as she knocked over small children.
Get out of my way! I need hamburgers!
Bertha looked like a morbidly obese Anna Nicole Smith with a Winnie the Pooh shirt, bleached blonde dog hair, and food-stained parachute pants. Then a Fuddruckers employee, Ernie, looked romantically into Bertha's eyes. He thought their eyes connected, but Bertha was just staring at the number 3 combo special. Within minutes, she began feasting on a pyramid of sliders, as if she was in a one-man eating contest.
Suddenly, she stopped, twitched, and clutched her stomach.
Holy benevolent Jesus! My stomach don't feel so good! The grease is stabbing me!
Then suddenly, water spilled all over the floor.
Shit! I knocked over my fountain drink! Motherfuck! What the...
Bertha's water had broken, and she was about to give birth! Bertha stumbled off her wheelchair to the floor. She then felt contractions.
Good Lord, that's either the bacon grease or I'm having a baby! Damn, this is gonna hurt!
Bertha then pulled off her gigantic pants to expose her bushy, gigantic vagina lips, which opened like the doors of a DeLorean. Her vagina looked like rotten cabbage, seasoned with disease and blotchy like the inside of a neglected office microwave. Oh, how descriptive. To help lubrication, Bertha started rubbing barbecue sauce inside her cunt. Well, of course, she's inside of Fuddruckers. And then, licking her fingers clean,
I can't pass up a delicious barbecue sauce. Not for a minute.
Little did she know, she also nibbled on the sweet taste of placenta and membranes. Ernie, the Fuddruckers employee, ran over to her side and uttered, "Can I help you, miss?"
"I'm gonna have a baby!"
Bertha cried as she smoked 4 menthol cigarettes at once.
"I need more lube! Astroglide! Anything! Hand over that basket of fries! Yeah! You rubbed that grease all over my cunt!"
Dainty. Ernie pulled up Bertha's cutlets of gut blubber and yelled, "Man, you've got so much bush, you should donate to Locks of Love. Whoa, I can see the baby's head coming out." Ernie then sensually reached in Bertha's vagina like pulling innards from a turkey. Bertha's beaver began to barf out the baby. Barf out a baby. It looked gooey like a greased pig covered in nacho cheese, blood, and gravy.
Oh, god damn! That felt so good!
Ernie... Uh-oh. I think I know where this story's going. Ernie pulled out a meat cleaver and asked, "Don't you want me to cut the umbilical?"
"No! I want you to cram that baby back inside of me!"
"What? What are you talking about? Ma'am, that's not safe for the baby." Bertha grabbed his shirt collar as she commanded,
"The customer is always right! You shove that baby deep inside me like a suppository in my asshole!"
Instead of absolute pain, Bertha felt absolute pleasure giving birth. Reluctantly, Ernie pushed the baby back in Bertha's dunk tank cunt.
"Yeah, push it in and out just like that, yeah, in and out, yeah! You fucked me with my baby! Yeah! Oh, give it to me! Oh!"
Baby dildo. Baby dildo. Baby dildo.
Just then, the baby's face rubbed against Bertha's clit piercing, causing the baby to have a cleft lip.
"In and out! Like a motherfucking basket of fries in the deep fryer! Yeah! 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 Put those boneless buffalo wings in my ass! Yeah! I've been a bad mama! I've been a bad mama! Now choke me with that goddamn umbilical cord!" "Shit! That baby's hurting me now! Just put the leg in! Yeah! Fuck me with that baby leg! It's like a limp dick! Oh, yeah!"
The baby began to uncontrollably barf all over Bertha's gunt. It was curdled and frothy like expired pancake batter.
"Oh, yeah, that helps the lubrication out. Yeah! Yeah! Oh, motherfucker, yeah!"
Bertha began to orgasm, causing streams of cream to bleed down her knees. That rhymed. It was a baby shower of a different kind. Then she violently crammed the baby back in her lady garden, but a little too far.
"Shit! I think I got the baby all caught up inside my vagina. But I hit my G-spot again."
"I think the baby doesn't want to be your baby anymore," Ernie said.
You need to give my vagina mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Come on, MacGyver. Do it now. Do it now.
At that moment, Ernie tried to save the baby. I'm not going to let you raise your child, you awful beast woman. Ernie pulled the baby out, cut the umbilical cord, and ran behind the counter, but then slipped on the greasy floor. The baby flew high up into the air.
Oh, no. 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 I've got to grab the baby.
Everything went into slow motion. The baby flew in the air like a perfect three-point basketball shot in a Hoosiers movie, directly into the deep fryer. Got a deep-fried baby going there.
What are you doing to my child? Are you making him absolutely delicious?
Ernie yanked the baby out of the deep fryer, but it was too late.
I'm afraid he's dead, ma'am. I'm so sorry about your child. Here you go. Would you like fries with your dead baby?
Hell no, I don't want no fry! Well, you know, on second thought, pushing out a baby made me hungry as hell.
As Bertha poured ketchup on the fried infant. To prevent this from ever happening again, Ernie left Bertha a Happy Meal toy. A coat hanger. Bertha also left Fuddruckers with an armful of complimentary French fries and literally a kid's meal. As she rolled down the handicap ramp on her wheelchair, she said,
"This day may have not made me happy, but at least I got my Happy Meal. Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye."
There you go. That's Sextastic Tuesday for July 27th, 2010, brought to you by a company that is doing so much good in the world. I'm not talking about providing dildos and butt plugs to the masses, although they do that exceptionally well. No, AdamandEve.com gives back to the community, and that's really why you should support them. They're socially conscious. They care about issues that are affecting us, especially my listeners. For instance, DV listener, who the fuck is this? Oh, John. DV listener John sent in this Newswire story. Breaking news. Adam and Eve's Phil Harvey donated $100,000 to a cause. Adam and Eve president Phil Harvey, what a great man he is. He ponied up some cash to a California committee that seeks to legalize medical marijuana. Nothing goes with sex quite like weed, except coke. That's probably better, but I don't think that's on the ballot yet, the legalization of cocaine. In time, we haven't progressed that far as a culture. The donation was made to the Drug Policy Action Committee to tax and regulate marijuana, or dip back, tip, rip, the committee is supporting Prop 19, the November ballot initiative to legalize marijuana for adults over 21 and allow small residential cultivation and permit local governments to tax and regulate marijuana sales. Blah, blah. Harvey, the only listed donor to the committee so far, well, he's a trailblazer, is also involved in family planning and HIV/AIDS prevention. So that's, you know, that's where some of the money's going when you purchase products at Adam and Eve. Things like the underbed restraint system or inflatable position master. That's a great product that gets your lady's ass high up in the air so you can drill her down. I've struck pussy oil! So yeah, oh, you know what's great is, I haven't even mentioned the whole reason why I'm talking about Adam and Eve. For a limited time, you can get 50% off just about any item just by using coupon code FREAK, F-R-E-A-K, at checkout. So for instance, if you want to purchase the Adam and Eve inflatable position master, that bitch costs $30, right? Using the coupon code FREAK, it's only going to cost $15, and you're going to get free shipping, plus three free adult DVDs, a special gift, all for using the coupon code FREAK. Again, that's F-R-E-A-K at AdamandEve.com. They've also got other shit. I mean, anything sexual in nature. They've got massage oils, electric shavers. Okay, sure. Condoms, cologne, movies, lingerie, bondage paraphernalia. male and female sex toys, and so much more at AdamandEve.com. Check them out right now. There's a link on the show notes. Again, that's coupon code FREAK. Every time you purchase a product at AdamandEve.com, you help support the drug industry. What? That doesn't sound good at all, does it? Now, I believe that donation, by the way, was a personal contribution. It wasn't done through the company or anything. All right, and with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, up, fucked up news right now. I could not tell you why AdamandEve.com remains a sponsor of DV, especially when I say stuff like this. Every time you purchase a product at AdamandEve.com, you help support the drug industry. What? I think I'm doing more damage to their company than helping them out, but yes, they're good people. All right, if you're not yet Sideshow Freak, sign up right now. It is only $5 a month or $50 a year. SuperFreakSideshow.com. Today I've got an extended program for you, so be on the lookout for that. If you're not yet a member, sign up, and you can catch all that shit. Plus, this weekend's Butt Fudge Sunday, the video cast that I have planned for you. Thursday's program will be exclusive, all that shit. Plus, you'll get full access to the entire archive of programs. SuperFreakSideshow.com. All right, three quick stories, and then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, I gotta tell you, I'm liking the sound of this story just by the headline alone. Mom accused, that's already starting off good, of poisoning daughter, love the sound of that, with feces. We've got a winner, found with a child. Emily Beth McDonald, the woman accused of smearing feces on a catheter leading to her daughter's bloodstream, was found by a child welfare official last week with a child, a violation of her pretrial release. Can't get enough of smearing feces on little girls' catheters.
I was devastated. I had to reuse catheters for the rest of my life.
At least it wasn't covered in a thick layer of steaming shit, Holly. Jesus Christ. I had to reuse catheters. My favorite part of that commercial is when she's talking about the company that provides catheters and how she was nervous and embarrassed to call them. You're on national TV now talking about cathing. And how you constantly got urinary tract infections from recathing and shit like that. And you're stupid. Stupid, Holly. All right, back to the story here. McDonald, who could face a life sentence for injury to a child, is free on a personal recognizance bond. That doesn't seem right. That's pretty much just like recognizing you did something wrong, right?
Okay, I'm sorry. I now know I should not stick shitty catheters in my daughter.
All right. You're free to go until your court hearing. Try not to kill another child. As a condition of the bond, the judge, Kosarek, Julie Kosarek, has ordered McDonald not to have contact with children. During a May hearing, McDonald's lawyer unsuccessfully requested that Kosarek allow her supervised visitation with her children, who at the time were 4, 5, and 7. It was her 4-year-old daughter that McDonald is accused of injuring on April 15th. According to a motion filed by prosecutor Jackie Wood, a child protective services worker made an unannounced visit to McDonald's parents' home in Manor on Tuesday and found McDonald with an approximately 3-year-old child at her side. Dun, dun, dun. In an interview, Wood said she did not know the identity of the child. Yeah, the 3-year-old, that doesn't match up with any of her children's ages. The defendant placed her hand on the child's head and stated, "Now that you're awake, I have to go upstairs." And I left to take a big fucking dump. Maybe if you're good, I'll smear some of that on you. All right. Wood argued in the motion that McDonald's actions and the nature of the accusations against her indicate she is a great danger to children. The defendant's flagrant disregard for the court's order further illustrates this danger. I believe this is a distorted view update. Let's read about the actions that got her into trouble in the first place. The 4-year-old girl was admitted to Dell Children's Medical Center on April 15th in 2009 with a high fever and, quote, oh yes, a long history of chronic diarrhea. I remember that phrase. Blood test came back positive for bacteria commonly found in feces. Hospital officials set up a hidden camera in the girl's room after she continued to have setbacks in her recovery and after they had to replace her intravenous lines several times because of infections or clots in the line. Well, it all came out soon. McDonald confessed to police that she smeared feces on her daughter's central ventricle line cap 5 times during her daughter's 6-week hospital stay. At the time of the May hearing, McDonald's lawyer, Bob Phillips, said her 2 youngest children are living with her. Why did she do that, though? Did she just want to kill her? Like, 2's company, 3's a crowd. Trying to whittle down the number of my children to something more manageable. All right, so there you go. Second story we have for you today.
This one happens to come from our most fucked up state. Say it with me.
Florida, our most fucked up state.
Yes, Palm Springs has been a welcoming oasis.
Fuck you if you're not from Palm Beach County.
Thank you, gangster grandma. Yes, Palm Springs has been a welcoming oasis for gays and lesbians. A lot of sound clips today. Ever since the days of Rock Hudson and Tab Hunter. Hunks. But new frictions have arisen between the city's police department and its sizable gay population, estimated to be as, I'd call it a girthy gay population. Yes, new frictions have arisen between the city's police department and its sizable gay population, estimated to be as high as 30 to 40% over a police sting of gay public sex. Last summer, Palm Springs police used undercover officers to arrest 24 men in a gay neighborhood for allegedly trying to engage the officers in sex. While few in the gay community... While few in the gay community... Every time I talk about gays, I just get an upset stomach. Indigestion. For some reason, my burps taste like cum. While few in the gay community defend anyone having public sex, whether gay or straight, the anger is over the unusual charges in the case. The men are charged under Section 290C, not 290C, of the California Penal Code. Oh, Palm Springs is in California. I was thinking Palm Beach. I'm sorry. In case anyone was confused, this is not CNN. I don't fact check or look at maps. I didn't even pass high school geometry. Jesus fucking Christ. Geography. I don't know the difference. All right. Where are we at here? I've lost all control of this stupid program. All right. The men are charged under Section 290C of the California Penal Code. Penal. Making those who are convicted register as sex offenders for life. Their names added to a police database. That charge is essentially a life sentence, defense lawyers say, and has never been used against straight couples arrested for similar activity in Palm Springs. That's because straight sex is not nearly as gross as gay sex. Gross and offensive. Adding fuel to the community's anger is surveillance tape shot inside a patrol car during the sting. One officer can be heard using anti-gay slurs while another officer laughs. All of this flies in the face of city's reputation as a welcoming place for gays, as longtime gay rights pioneer Cleve Jones, or Clive, I don't know who the fuck it is, C-L-E-V-E, Cleve, who relocated to Palm Springs from San Fran 10 years ago. They're really shooting themselves in the foot, Jones says. Gay dollars are keeping this city afloat. Let's get real. The gay events are the largest events in the valley. The gay tourist dollar is crucial to the economic survival of Palm Springs. Discrimination is the basis of the defense's case because straight couples arrested in similar cases have never been charged as lifelong sex offenders. The attorney, Roger Tansey, says that it was the police who instigated any encounters in the sting. A typical scenario, Tansey says, would be a couple of cops who were dressed in tank tops, the official shirt of queers, and would walk around grabbing their crotches and staring at the defendant's crotches, saying, "Show me what you got, show me what you got." In no case did they come upon any man already having sex. Tansey adds that in many cases, the defendants were reluctant to participate and wanted to go back to a room or someplace more private and were coaxed to stay in a... Believe me, it didn't take much convincing to get that cock out. Come on. Gays love to flash their shit. All right, yes, Tansey adds that in many cases the defendants were reluctant to participate, wanted to go back to a room or someplace more private, and were coaxed to stay and allegedly expose themselves by the officers. The chief of police apparently is doing his own internal review of the sting operation, and he'll be making recommendations on the policy going forward. So there you go. And finally today... Do you remember that episode of Punky Brewster? Something else you probably will never hear on CNN. Relating a news story to an episode of Punky Brewster. Where they're playing hide-and-go-seek. Punky and her friends are having a good, spirited game of hide-and-go-seek. And one of the friends decides to hide in an abandoned refrigerator and gets stuck in there. And almost dies. It's a very special Punky. Well, this story is kind of like that, but replace... refrigerator with tumble dryer. The story comes from the UK. A 4-year-old boy died after climbing into a tumble dryer in what is believed to be a game of hide-and-go-seek that went tragically wrong. Sonny Gibson was trapped in the machine for an hour while his family... Kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. Why didn't they hear him rolling around in there?
When he came out, he smelled lavender fresh, though. All right, Sonny Gibson was trapped in the machine for an hour. No wrinkles. He was trapped in the machine for an hour while his family and police searched nearby fields for him, thinking he had strayed from the house. When the search moved into their home in rural Derbyshire, his mother discovered the little boy in the machine's drum. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Police would not say whether the machine was on when he was found. It was unclear last night whether he had suffocated or died as the dryer began its cycle. Cycle. Very tragic story. All right, yes, it is thought that he climbed into the dryer and somehow closed the door behind him. His mother, Anne Shepherd, who was in her mid-40s, was last night too distressed to speak and was under medical supervision. One neighbor, who asked not to be named, said Sonny loved hide-and-seek and was always trying to give his brothers and sisters a surprise. Mission accomplished. Neighbors described him as a sweet little lad. He had finished nursery and it was his first day of holiday. Now, this is interesting. Take a listen to this. It's understood that the mother had gone shopping in the town center sometime after 10 a.m. yesterday, right? And left Sonny with his half-sister and half-brother to look after him. They did it! They totally did it. They hated that child, the Sonny, who's not their real brother. How else would the dryer be turned on and the door closed? It all makes sense. All right, he must have been in there at least an hour or so. God only knows what it must have been like. Police were called just after 10:30 a.m. by Sonny's mother, who returned home to find that he was missing. Police are awaiting results of a post-mortem examination. No one has been arrested yet, so there you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, Freak, speak to me, please.
Hey, Timothy James Henson, this is Sir Roivus calling in. I was listening to an old episode where you were describing dragon cum lube.
Yes.
You said that when you were in the shower and you were, like, trying to wash it off, it kept getting slicker and slicker. That sounds a lot like the properties of J-Lube. So if you ever play with dragon cum lube again, You should try breaking it down with salt. Anyway, Jakub.
Really? I'm going to start messing around with salt? You shouldn't have to use salt to get lube off your hands.
Hey.
Or dick. Whatever.
Hey, Tim, it's Double the Threat. And you know who I hate?
Everyone.
Monotone bitches that just complain and do nothing else. See ya, Tim.
All right. He's very upset with some of the callers who hate him.
Hey, Sam, it's Matt in Kansas. I'm starting to regret sending you that Jesse Slaughter video because it led me to stickydrama.com eventually, and I'm losing my fucking mind because I would rather be encountered by a gang of skinheads in an alleyway than deal with a few 13-year-old pubescent fucking cotton candy pussy emo girl.
You need to send me links. If you find any good, I've never been on that website, profiles or blogs or whatever on that website, email them to me. I love reading that shit.
Hey, Tim, boy negro. I could sure go for a smattering of some anus. It would be tops.
All right, so it would be tops.
Hey, Tim.
Anus would be tops right now.
Hey, Tim, it's Lifetime Size Remember Spider here.
Oh,
I just want to tell you that,
you love me.
Your Tuesday show, like today, was comedy gold, dude. It was awesome. I loved how, you put your little comments in when you're reading the news story. That makes the show 15 times more hilarious than it actually is, dude. Yeah. You know, I really, like, you're starting not to do it, but you did it this episode, and I'm really happy with you. Really awesome.
I'll try to pepper my news stories with more commentary in the future.
Hey, Jimmy Spiral Amp.
I don't know what you people like.
Hey, Jimmy Spiral Amp. Hey, this is for my homeboy Zach in Florida, brother. I know exactly what you're saying, man. Tim always plays the worst messages. And it's not Tim's fault. But I'll call in saying some stupid shit. And those are the ones he'll always fucking play.
I mean, ultimately, it is my fault because it is my show, but stop sending me shit in the voicemail line, please.
Tim, you've got dumbest fucking people you play on your show. That fat fuck. Henry Ford did not invent the fucking car. He invented
the production line.
On making the car. All right? That stupid fuck.
He made the car. Nobody ever.
Well, yeah, okay.
Oh, little fucking ball on the way. Double a paintball.
Some sort of, double, I thought it was the double rainbow auto-tune thing. It doesn't translate well over the phone.
Hey, Tim.
Ah!
Long-time slideshow member.
Slideshow? Did I say that? I probably did. Like a mush-mouth idiot I am. Shut up. We all make mistakes.
Jagulbod. Hey, Tim. It's Joe Stetz, caller from Pennsylvania. Listen, Mon, I'm called to tell you that you got me in a lot of trouble, Mon, with my girl. She came into my room the one day, Mon, and I was listening to Distorted View, and they were talking about pussies and stuff like that, Mon. And let me tell you, what? I got in a lot of trouble.
Why is he saying
with my girl.
Mon?
I wouldn't do it again, but I have to. I mean, Distorted View, Mon. Gotta love it. Peace.
I don't understand the Mon reference.
Yeah, listening to the 7610 episode.
Oh, yes.
And the first news story you played about the one where the dude in Texas shows his bitches porn.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck his wife is complaining about, or whoever it is. I'm Googling tits since I was 10 years old, and I have not looked back.
That's right.
Sure, it led me to...
Onward and upward.
Masochism, but whatever. Cool, man, it's exciting. It makes you feel alive.
And yeah.
It's like the best shit ever.
Sure. Okay, thank you for that.
Finally, I was on the hold for like an hour. My waist size is 34, my chest size is 40, and my balls weigh about 8 ounces. Bye.
I believe I requested that information a while ago on the show,
no,
right?
The
Oh, yeah, the Distorted View hold line. That's right. Wow, I can't believe I remembered that. But
no,
it's a very specific reference.
Over the past year, we've become great adversaries, but also great friends. And in my dreams, lovers. Therefore, since my birthday is coming up next week, I was wondering if you could have Satan drop by to wish me good tidings.
When is your birthday next week? Because that's awful close to my birthday, and we can't have that. You're going to have to push yours back a week or two, please. Thank you. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD. It's an oh-God. Subscribe via iTunes. Spread the distortion to all your friends about the podcast. If you are a sideshow freak, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye. Bye.
Ball tapping, ball tapping, ball tapping, ball tapping, ball tapping, ball tapping.